Heidi Miller, Compulsive Eater. I'm going to try to do what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So I consider this my home group. I came here on my belly button birthday when I was 52, February 22nd, 2021. And so I was 52 and I grew up a child of like my parents. Turns out my mom got pregnant and then they got married because they wanted to do the right thing. And both of my parents come from family backgrounds of addiction. My grandfather was like the madman. He sold insurance, lots of wining and dining and martinis. And then on the other side, I just heard rumors of my grandma's brother who died of alcoholism. I see photos of him. He was very, very, very skinny. And I think that was from drinking, but I don't know. I never met him. So my parents got married. They were, they did the right thing. They were trying to do the right thing, but they didn't have any skills other than what they had learned, through the church, which was follow kind of this punishing God, follow along and everything will be okay. And it talks about egomaniac with the inferiority complex in the big book. And I think that probably is an accurate description of a lot of my family. We're smart, we're capable, and we're also kind of self-will run riot and reckless. So my parents got married, and pretty quickly that blew up because they were both pretty immature. And that's their confession. I'm not putting that on them. And so from the get-go, I was, came from bad stock or bad seed or whatever. And in my family, you either were practicing your self-will run riot, your addiction. So you were drunk or you were in the food or you were a gambler or you did perfectionism. You tried to hit, get married, have 2.3 kids and a white picket fence and just try to like live happily ever after, putting everything in that perfectionism. And again, I didn't come from that from an early age. And or you recover. I have one uncle who, went before me who recovered and died sober. Because my parents divorced, I think pretty quickly food became like the love language. So we'd go with my dad every Tuesday. We'd go to the Greasy Spoon Diner. It was cheeseburgers and malts. And, that was the relationship with my dad was always based around food. And he didn't cook. He'd take us out. And it was always, not the most healthy stuff. And I think that fed the physical disease with sugar and craving and looking forward to, oh, I'm going to get this or I'm going to get that. My disease, perseverating about food. And then my mom pretty quickly got into another relationship. Her boyfriend, who I call my stepdad, because they were a long time relationship, but he was 13 years younger than my mom. So my mom was like 34, he was 21, and then me and my sister were like 7 and 8. And so that was like one of my first, not only was the divorce like going against the grain, it was scandalous, in the early 70s to get divorced, more scandalous. But then my mom to go and get this relationship, it was just another example of like, I'm going to do what I want to do, and it turned out okay. And they modeled a healthy relationship, but it was also like controversial. And so I had these examples of self-will run riot, just do what you want to do. And so I lived my life like that for a really long time. And by the time I got into my late 20s, I was, pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. I had a good job, but I lived in the attic and I rented out the house and I was a big drinker and partier. All my money went to drinking. I went to culinary school. I graduated with a bachelor's, and then it's like, what do you do with a bachelor's of philosophy, right? Which was 7 years of me just drinking and eating my way through life. You go to culinary school. So I went to culinary school. So I spent time in bars and restaurants. Food was always around. I was always eating. I was never hungry. I was never full. But I drank, and that allowed me to like keep the weight off, you know? And so by the time I'm in my late 20s, I'm like miserable. And I know now, looking back, I did the third step. Like, there's no reason for me to feel this pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. I have a roof over my head. I have a good job. There's money coming in. I know that now I look at it like the people that went before me in recovery have raised the bottom. So I didn't have to go so far down. And so for me, my highest weight was probably, I'm 5'10". My highest weight was when I was pregnant was probably around 200. And I lost that weight pretty quickly after I had the kids. So I got sober. I got married pretty fast. I had a couple kids. I remember for my wedding shower, it was, instead of bringing a gift, bring a recipe. So I have this whole binder of, and that was going to be the happily ever after, you know? If I can put together the right cookbook or the right menu or the right like event where we're all around the table and there's the right food, that's the combination, that's the recipe, no pun intended, or I guess pun intended, for happily ever after. And so I got sober, I got married, I had a couple kids, and then I spent the next years, lots of years, trying to lose that last 10 or 15 pounds in pursuit of the perfect diet, the perfect meal, the perfect recipe, the perfect food plan. And there wasn't a lot of emotional sobriety. I had put the plug in the jug, but I had transferred my disease, my compulsion to the food. Even though I was sober on alcohol. And so that marriage ended as of yesterday officially. And what I know looking back is, we got married and I was pregnant in a heartbeat. And he took a second shift job right away, early in our marriage. So from like our whole marriage, we were never really united. We never lived together at the same time. I mean, we lived in the same roof, but he worked second shift. So my first pregnancy was alone because he was at work second shift at night. And for a long time, I tried to, reel him in, rein him in, and get, let's do this. Let's recover. Let's practice these principles in all our affairs. And it just wasn't meant to be. And that marriage lasted, for 15 years. And I was always trying to, like, if we would spend, he worked nights for 5 years. If we had time together, it was always like, let's go here and eat and kumbaya, we'll live happily ever after. The food was always the solution in my mind, in my disease. And so then the pandemic hit, right? And I'm working from home and it's like Groundhog Day and it's November 2020 and I forget that my sobriety anniversary. I look at the calendar, I'm like, hey, it's November 16th. I'm like, November 14th, I had, 2 decades of 20, 19, 18 years of continuous sobriety. And I got spooked because my phone didn't ring. I was in online meetings helping set them up and ed chair them. And but I was not a member of recovery. I was not in the middle of the herd. And I didn't have a sponsor. I didn't have a home group. I couldn't tell you what step I was on. I wasn't working anything. I didn't have sponsees. I didn't. And That was November, and I got spooked and told myself I'm gonna go back to doing the things I did in early sobriety, which is all the things that are in this little pamphlet, by the way. Get a sponsor, get a home group, start working the steps, get into the literature, go to meetings, do service. And that's what I did. So that was November. And then February, I ended up in this meeting because I wanted emotional sobriety. I had no alcohol, but I was so in the food. Especially in the pandemic, I never stopped. That's funny. I never stopped eating. I was never hungry. I was never full. I was in a constant battle with this 10 pounds from, oh, it's the baby weight. You know, I just still have to get off that baby weight. And I hadn't found the right diet. I have people in my family who you either worship at the WW or you rotate, you know. So I've watched my family do Optifast and be bulimic and fill in the list ad infinitum. And then also worship at the number on the scale. Like, oh, if I can just get to this number, then happily ever after. And I have one family member, her husband is the scale police, and he'll report to you, oh, she's doing pretty good or she's not, or and so my higher power brought me to this meeting, emotional sobriety. You sent me this pamphlet. This is literally the one Rob sent me during the pandemic. And I got busy and I got better. And I had a food plan, breakfast, lunch, and dinner with a start and an end time. Portion size, I've never weighed, but I eat pretty much the same thing every day. And that was my MO before I got here. Now I just have some barriers and limits around it, you know, some parameters about what each meal looks like. And at the beginning, I had an optional snack at night because my family was, they still are, ice cream at night people, you know. So I had vanilla yogurt, optional snack. And that's what I did, and that's what I still do today. Rob also sent me, I celebrated 3 years in February. So Rob sent me a 3 year chip. I love this meeting because there's a lot of people here who are regular attenders. I was so excited when I got on this meeting and I saw Stan and Daryl because I have two uncles, and I have more than two uncles, but I have two uncles on my dad's side who are I've watched over my adult life go further and further into their disease and their addictions. And so here, I get family here. I get people who are doing the deal, and I get people who have admitted they're powerless and are moving forward to in deference to that, I guess. That I don't get that in my family of origin. And I pray for them, you know, and the recovery is free and available for anybody who gets the grace to come in here and join. Today, as far as the number on the scale, you know, there Daryl says it's the scale number on the scale is a measure of honesty. I go to a lot of meetings. I can tell you what step I'm on. I have a sponsor. I know my dates. I try to be of service. I put my number in here. I take calls if I can. And I think about the people, the women in particular, but the people who I see come on who are new and try to say, like, keep coming back. Because there's times either when you're new or at some point in your recovery, and this happened to me, you know, less than 2 years ago, where something's going to happen and you're just going to be like, I do not know how to do this. But, you know, the good news is when I'm in here, there's 21 other squares. Somebody on here knows what how to do it or what needs to be done. Or I have so many tools in my toolbox because I keep coming back. And I'm at the point in my recovery where just like the reading for today, I have a gentleman in my home group. He says if he would have scripted his life, And I've heard people on this meeting talk about like dear God letters. I'm at the point where I want what you have and I want to move forward with no expectations because I know what my higher power has for me is better because going back egomaniac with an inferiority complex is better than what I want, what I would script for myself. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to journey with you guys for another however long we have together. And I'm just really, really, really fortunate to have found this program. I'll pass.